The Celestial Sisters, an American Indian story. Waupi, or the White Hawk, lived in a remote part of the forest where animals abounded. Every day he returned from the chase with a large spoil, for he was one of the most skillful and lucky hunters of his tribe. His form was like the cedar. The fire of youth beamed from his eye. There was no forest too gloomy for him to penetrate, and no track made by bird or beast of any kind which he could not readily follow. One day he had gone beyond any point which he had ever before visited. He traveled through an open wood, which enabled him to see a great distance. At length he beheld a light breaking through the foliage of the distant trees, which made him sure that he was on the borders of a prairie. It was a wide plain covered with long blue grass and enameled with flowers of a thousand lovely tints. After walking for some time without a path, musing upon the open country, and enjoying the fragrant breeze, he suddenly came to a ring worn among the grass and the flowers, as if it had been made by footsteps moving lightly round and round. But it was strange, so strange as to cause the White Hawk to pause and gaze long and fixedly upon the ground. There was no path which led to this flowery circle. There was not even a crushed leaf nor a broken twig, nor the least trace of a footstep approaching or retiring to be found. He thought he would hide himself and lie in wait to discover, if he could, what this strange circle meant. Presently he heard the faint sounds of music in the air. He looked up in the direction they came from, and as the magic notes died away, he saw a small object, like a little summer cloud that approaches the earth, floating down from above. At first it was very small and seemed as if it could have been blown away by the first breeze that came along. But it gradually grew as he gazed upon it, and the music every moment came clearer and more sweetly to his ear. As it neared the earth, it appeared as a basket, and it was filled with 12 sisters of the most lovely forms and enchanting beauty. As soon as the basket touched the ground, they leaped out and began straightway to dance in the most joyous manner around the magic ring, striking as they did a shining ball, which uttered the most ravishing melodies and kept time as they danced. The White Hawk, from his concealment, entranced, gazed upon their graceful forms and movements. He admired them all, but he was most pleased with the youngest. He longed to be at her side, to embrace her, to call her his own, and unable to remain longer a silent admirer, he rushed out and endeavored to seize this 12th beauty who so enchanted him. But the sisters, with the quickness of birds, the moment they espied the form of a man, leaped back into the basket and were drawn up into the sky. Lamenting his ill luck, Waupi glanced longingly upon the fairy basket as it ascended and bore the lovely sisters from his view. "They are gone," he said, "and I shall see them no more." He returned to his solitary lodge, but he found no relief in his mind. He walked abroad, but to look at the sky, which had withdrawn from his sight the only being he had ever loved, was painful to him now. The next day, selecting the same hour, the White Hawk went back to the prairie and took his station near the ring. In order to deceive the sisters, he assumed the form of a possum and sat among the grasses as if he were there engaged in chewing the cud. He had not waited long when he saw the cloudy basket descend, and heard the same sweet music, falling as before. He crept slowly toward the ring, but the instant the sisters caught sight of him, They were startled and sprang into their car. It rose a short distance when one of the elder sisters spoke. "Perhaps," she said, "it has come to show us how the game is played by mortals." "Oh, no," the youngest replied. "Quick, let us ascend." And all joining in a chant, they rose out of sight. Waupe, casting off his disguise, walked sorrowfully back to his lodge. But ah, the night seemed very long to the lonely white hawk. His whole soul was filled with a thought of the beautiful sister. Betimes the next day he returned to the haunted spot, hoping and fearing and sighing as though his very soul would leave his body in its anguish. He reflected upon the plan he should follow to secure success. He'd already failed twice. To fail a third time would be fatal. Nearby he found an old stump, much covered with moss, and just then in use as the residence of a number of mice who had stopped there on a pilgrimage to some relatives on the other side of the prairie. The white hawk was so pleased with their tidy little forms that he thought he too would be a mouse, especially as they were by no means formidable to look at, and would not be at all likely to create alarm. He accordingly, having first brought the stump and set it near the ring, without further notice became a mouse, and peeped and sported about, and kept his sharp little eyes busy with the others. But he did not forget to keep one eye up toward the sky, and one ear wide open in the same direction. It was not long before the sisters, at their customary hour, came down and resumed their sport. "But see," cried the younger sister, "that stump was not there before." She ran off frightened toward the basket. Her sisters only smiled, and gathering round the old tree stump, they struck it in jest, when out ran the mice, and among them Waupe. They killed them all but one, which was pursued by the younger sister, just as she had raised a silver stick, which she held in her hand to put an end to it, too. The form of the white hawk arose, and he clasped his prize in his arms. The other 11 sprang to their basket and were drawn up into the sky. Waupe exerted all his skill to please his bride and win her affections. He wiped the tears from her eyes. He related his adventure in the chase. He dwelt upon the charms of life on the earth. He was content in his attentions, keeping fondly by her side and picking out the way for her to walk as he led her gently toward his lodge. He felt his heart glow with joy as he entered it, and from that moment he was one of the happiest of men. Winter and summer passed rapidly away, and as the spring drew near with its balmy gales and its many-colored flowers, their happiness was increased by the presence of a beautiful boy in their lodge. What more of earthly blessing was there for them to enjoy? Waupe's wife was a daughter of one of the stars, and as the scenes of earth began to pall upon her sight, she sighed to revisit her father. But she was obliged to hide these feelings from her husband. She remembered the charm that would carry her up, and while White Hawk was engaged in the chase, she took occasion to construct a wicker basket, which she kept concealed. In the meantime, she collected such rarities from the earth as she thought would please her father, as well as the most dainty kinds of food. One day when Waupe was absent and all was in readiness, she went out to the charmed ring, taking with her her little son. As they entered the car, she commenced her magical song, and the basket rose. The song was sad and of a lonely and mournful cadence, and as it was wafted far away by the wind, it caught her husband's ear. It was a voice that he well knew, and he instantly ran to the prairie. Though he made breathless speed, he could not reach the ring before his wife and child had ascended beyond his reach. He lifted up his voice in loud appeals, but they were unavailing. The basket still went up. He watched it till it became a small speck, and finally it vanished in the sky. He then bent his head down to the ground and was miserable. Through a long winter and a long summer, Waupi bewailed his loss, but he found no relief. The beautiful spirit had come and gone, and he should see it no more. He mourned his wife's loss sorely, but his son still more, for the boy had both the mother's beauty and the father's strength. In the meantime, his wife had reached her home in the stars, and in the blissful employments of her father's house, she had almost forgotten that she had left a husband upon the earth. But her son, as he grew up, resembled more and more his father, and every day he was restless and anxious to visit the scene of his birth. His grandfather said to his daughter one day, "Go, my child, and take your son down to his father, and ask him to come up and live with us. But tell him to bring along a specimen of each kind of bird and animal he kills in the chase." She accordingly took the boy and descended. The white hawk, who was ever near the enchanted spot, heard her voice as she came down the sky. His heart beat with impatience as he saw her form and that of his son, and they were soon clasped in his arms. He heard the message of the star, and he began to hunt with the greatest activity that he might collect the presents with all dispatch. He spent whole nights as well as days in searching for every curious and beautiful animal and bird. He only preserved a foot, a wing, or a tail of each. When all was ready, Waupi visited once more each favorite spot, the hilltop whence he had been used to see the rising sun, the stream where he had sported as a boy, the old lodge, now looking sad and solemn, which he was to sit in no more, and last of all, coming to the magic circle, he gazed widely around him with tearful eyes, and taking his wife and child by the hand, they entered the car and were drawn up into a country far beyond the flight of birds or the power of mortal eye to pierce. Great joy was manifested upon their arrival at the starry plains. The star chief invited all his people to a feast, and when they had assembled, he proclaimed aloud that each one might continue as he was, an inhabitant of his own dominions, or select of the earthly gifts such as he liked best. A very strange confusion immediately arose. Not one but sprang forward. Some chose a foot, some a wing, and some a tail, and some a claw. Those who selected tails or claws were changed into animals and ran off. The others assumed the form of birds and flew away. Waupi chose a white hawk's feather. His wife and son followed his example, and each one became a white hawk. He spread his wings and, followed by his wife and son, descended with the other birds to the earth, where he is still to be found, with the brightness of the starry plains in his eyes and the freedom of the heavenly breezes in his wings.